I am fantasy and paranormal romance author Leslie Penelope, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes of an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Monday, May 22nd, 2023, and this is episode 218 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. So this week's best thing was the Imaginarium Book Festival, and it's the reason why I'm recording on Monday night instead of sometime before, because the podcast usually comes out early Monday morning. But I was at the book festival and had an amazing time. This is my second time there in person. It's the second time the festival has existed in person. There was one year where it was online during the pandemic, and I did the virtual event also. This year, it was expanded to 2 days. It was bigger and better and even more fun. This is probably my favorite author event that I do in terms of book selling to people. And I got the chance to meet a bunch of great authors and talk with them, and then meet a bunch of great readers. I sold a lot of books. I signed a lot of books. It was a really good time. It's really good energy at this event for some reason. It's a super diverse event. There's two Black women, young Black women, who created this and put it on every year. They're so creative, and like, I'm just amazed by what they're able to do. And they're organized, and everything is beautiful, and the design is beautiful, and I just love it. So shout out to Diantha and Nadej for putting on another amazing event. I know that they are worked to the bone. I can only imagine what goes into doing something like this, but they pulled it off for another year, and everyone was talking about how great it was. It just feels different. You know, part of it could be the venue. It's at the National Press Club in downtown DC, and there are windows, and it's just a beautiful place to be. And a lot of times when you're doing these events, you're in a hotel ballroom and you feel like you're in a basement somewhere because there's no windows and there's just artificial light. And that's fine, whatever. But like, having natural light and just a really beautiful environment and just decor and the cool swag bags and just everything, all the thought, all the love that has gone into it. I guess it's like you can feel when someone loves something. It's just a different type of energy when it's just people being paid to do something. And I don't know, there's a lot of these events that are put on by small groups of people, but there's just something different about Imaginarium. So if you are the type of person who travels to meet authors and get your book signed and buy books, make your way to DC whenever the Imaginarium Book Festival is happening and check it out, because it's really fantastic. I hope to be back next year. I love it. As long as I'll have me, I will come. So my writing update. Today I wrote the third scene in Brutal Fortress, which is book three of the Bliss Wars trilogy, and it's going well so far. This is the first draft. I'm not a first draft person. I really dislike first drafts, so I'm giving myself some grace with it. I'm only doing one scene a day, and a scene is anywhere between 1,000 to 2,000 words, sometimes more, sometimes a little bit less. I think today I wrote 1,800 words. The other day it was like 1,300. Now, last week I started the first draft. I started writing and I was having a little bit of resistance. And so I think I wrote the first scene on Wednesday. Thursday, it was just not working out for me. So I gave myself permission to just do some admin stuff. I had a lot of businessy things on my mind. Came back stronger Friday, and then today was good. So I'm just going to take it one scene a day, not push myself too hard, which is the reason I didn't want to have this book be on pre-order. Like, that pressure, that deadline, sometimes it's really helpful, and I do work well to deadlines, but I've been working well to deadlines for the past like 7 years or something like that. So I think it was just time for something different, and I'm really enjoying not being on a deadline. I'm planning to get the book out to everyone by the end of this year, but I don't want to have to rush, and I don't want to have to feel pressure. And so it's really nice, really, really nice not to have the pressure. But yeah, some techniques I used this week as I was getting into it. I decided on one day that I needed a playlist for this book. I hadn't created a playlist. It was still early stages. I've only been working on it for a couple of weeks. And usually these things happen organically. Like, the thought comes to me, hey, what is this character's theme song? And a couple of songs came to mind immediately. So I opened up Spotify. I created a playlist for this book, and it only has like two or three songs on it so far. But usually as I go through the process of drafting, a song will come into my head and I'll add it to the playlist, or I'll just be listening to usually Spotify as I'm doing something else, and I'll hear a song and I'll be like, ooh, let me add that to the playlist. So I've got a couple songs. I have my heroes, possibly theme song. It doesn't quite fit, but it fits his energy, if not like the actual story. And sometimes that's all it is. It's like what music is inspiring. It feels like a character. And then sometimes it's the actual lyrics are spot on. And those are great moments to get those kinds of songs on the playlist. But yeah, the writing is just the writing. I'm actually logging all of the steps in text. So I'm keeping a Google Doc, and every day I put the date in and I kind of write what I did and how I felt about it and what challenges I was facing. That's the kind of thing that I've done before as like a video diary, but I think I've mentioned in this podcast a while back that when I do too many video diaries and then I do the podcast, I can't remember what I said when, and I already feel like I repeat myself a lot. So I try to not do video diaries anymore as long as I'm doing the podcast, but an actual written diary, and it's just a few bullet points, because I've shied away from doing that because after I've spent a couple of hours writing, I don't want to, and I knew I still have work to do, like emails to write and admin to do and websites to make. I don't want to add extra unnecessary writing on top of it, but I'm keeping myself to just bullet points, and I think it will be really helpful in terms of just going back, looking back to see what I've done. I'm also tracking my not my word count, but just what I'm doing every day in very simple form on a calendar. So I have a Google Sheet that's the calendar where I just write drafting every day. In books past, I would have written the actual word count, and maybe I'll do that at some point, but I'm not so concerned about the word count because I'm not on deadline. When I am on deadline, keeping track of the word count helps me to know, do I need to speed up? Do I need to, you know, get two scenes or two chapters a day instead of just one? In other news, I forgot to talk about this last week. I broke off the first part of the imaginary world building course into a mini course. So it's basically most of the first module in the first workbook. It's called the Story Seed. So it's for developing your initial spark of an idea into what will become your story. I wanted like another entry point, you know, a much cheaper option that is still super valuable. Like it's something that literally I do with the books, and you go through your idea, your inspiration, something about the audience, like the market, where this book will sit on the shelf. And yeah, some really valuable exercises that I've started doing when I have this new idea and I'm trying to build it out into an actual plot so that I can start writing. So if you are interested in that, the Story Seed mini course is available. It's at lpen.co/storyseed is the short link. I will put the link in the show notes. And it's only $27 right now. So hopefully that's helpful for people. I've gotten really good feedback on it from the people in the full course. And if you buy the Story Seed mini course, you'll get a coupon for the full course if you want to continue. Like you find that this is really helpful, I want to see what else the course has. That's all included in there. And yeah, that was part of the thing that I did a couple weeks ago. The other piece of news I have is that the Footnotes newsletter, which is on Substack, I turned on the option for a paid subscription. It's something I had been thinking about and kind of hemming and hawing about and then being really afraid to do, but I just pulled the trigger. So what happens is the Monday newsletter is always going to be free. That includes the show notes from the podcast and also inspiration and links, you know, of interest to writers on creativity and productivity and craft, things like that. So that's staying the same. That has been coming out on the day the podcast comes out. And it came out today, even though the podcast did not come out today. But I'm doing some extra posts. I'm starting with the posts that I wrote for my column in Galaxy's Edge magazine. And the magazine is shifting from a every other month format to a like twice a year anthology. And so the column is at an end, but I know a lot of people didn't get those articles. So I'm actually revising them, like each one I'm reviewing, revising, updating, and then going to do that maybe once a month on Fridays. And then another thing that premium subscribers get is Q&A, and they get discounts on the courses and other things as I think them up. But I didn't want to like promise too much out of the gate. I wanted to keep it reasonable. So if you have been looking for a way to support the podcast or me, which is the same thing, you can become a best friend, an imaginary best friend, which is what the subscribers are. It's $5 a month or $50 a year. And then they have this thing called the founding members level, which I'm calling imaginary BFF, which is like $200 a year, I think, something like that. And then if you do that, you can get signed copies of all my books automatically. So I'm not doing a Patreon or anything. I just thought I would stick that in there and see how that works. But yes, that is the other one of the businessy things that I've been thinking about doing. Turning on the payments. It's so hard to ask people for money. It's so uncomfortable and like it makes me itch. But I know that what I'm doing is valuable and it takes time. You know, the podcast takes time, which is fine. I enjoy it. And I enjoy doing the newsletter too. But it does take time away from other things. And so we'll see how it goes. I did turn it on. I got a few subscriptions on the first day and I was like, oh, I can't believe it. Yay. I'm so happy that, because you know, there's always the fear that you do something and no one will show up. So if you were interested, it's myimaginaryfriends.net/footnotes. It's also just directly on Substack at myimaginaryfriends.substack.com. Links will be in the show notes, which this episode's show notes are going to go out next Monday since I'm late. But yeah, if you enjoy what I'm doing and will let you show your support, that would be a great way to do it. And I would be so, so appreciative of you. The other thing that I didn't talk about in writing, I've mentioned the program Scribble Maps before, scribblemaps.com. I used it heavily with the Monsters We Defy to make the real map of Washington, D.C., and then overlay all of the buildings and the businesses, the real ones that were there. And I don't think I made up any buildings. Oh, I did. I made up Henry's dress shop and I made up Uncle Nazareth's shop. I think those are the only two made up places in the whole book. I could be missing something, but every place else was real. So since in the Bliss War series, it takes place in an alternate version of San Francisco that is cleaving very closely to the real San Francisco, I once again turned to Scribble Maps. I know I can't say that. And I did my map of San Francisco and Oakland. And so since book three, we're going to Oakland. I used to live in Oakland when I was in grad school. I love Oakland. It's one of my favorite places. But I need to know like the distance and where the lake is in reference to other places and plot out the locations that I'm going to be using. And this is going to be an ongoing process. And shout out to Library Addict for coming in with the idea for setting my castle-like location at the Tribune Tower, which was a great suggestion, and I'm totally using it. So look for you in the acknowledgments. Yeah, and so I was like, okay, I need for my character to be coming from San Francisco to Oakland. Now, in my mind all this time, I knew that this was going to happen since the first book, but I thought she was going to go by land. So if the San Francisco is on a peninsula and Oakland is due east, and if you don't want to cross a bridge, you have to go the land route, which is going all the way to the bottom of the bay and coming around. And I thought this is what she was going to do this whole time. And then when I started, right when I was pre-writing, when I was planning and you know, doing the outline, I was like, oh no. There were a lot of logistical problems with that route and all of the obstacles, and it just speed things up. Like, I didn't want it to take forever. So I was like, she can just get a boat and like cross the bay. Much better. So then I was like, where is she going to land and how long is it going to take her to get from wherever she lands to the Tribune Tower? These are like the logistical things that are fun because I'm using a real place and I wouldn't care at all about it if I was making it up. So I plotted out my map and I reasoned that this is a post-apocalyptic version of the Bay Area. So the waters would rise. So the water isn't necessarily where it is now. It's covered some of the streets. So that can make it a little bit easier too. And then I've got the obstacles that she faces when she gets out of the boat and she's looking for this place that she's searching for and she encounters our hero. And that was a lot of fun. So yes, Scribble Maps. And I noticed that just like everything else in the universe, Scribble Maps is apparently integrating some form of AI. I don't understand. It says it can convert blogs into maps. What does this mean? I haven't had time to investigate it further. But every single thing that I use is adding AI in some capacity or another. And there's been a lot of controversies. I mentioned in Footnotes newsletter today about Pseudowrite adding this long form text story generation thing. So up until now, you know, I have been using ChatGPT and testing it out and playing around with it for various things. and it really only deals with like 300 words at a time. If you thought, as people were afraid of, that you could just be like, hey, ChatGPT, write me a novel, enter, and it would just spit you out a novel. That's not how it works. But PseudoWrite wants that to be how it works, I guess. And yeah, that's not great. And I don't know any writer who thinks, well, I'm sure I do know writers who think that's great, but many writers do not think that's great. And it is what it is. Life moves on, whether we want it to or not. Technology rolls on. No one's going to stop it. But there was a great post by Tara McMullen that I saw today, and I commented on in Substack Notes, which is like Substack's social media thing. And she was talking about how all of the fears that we have about AI and the technology are really fears about people. Like, no one thinks that the actual technology is sentient and is going to, I mean, it might destroy the world. I actually think it might destroy the world. But right now, today, in 2023, it's not going to destroy the world. That's like a 2035 problem, as far as I'm concerned. The problem is, the thing that we're afraid of is people misusing it. But people misuse all kinds of things. People have been misusing Amazon, misusing, trying to game the system ever since the Kindle Gold Rush of 2011 or 2010, whatever. The technology allows people to do it faster, maybe more efficiently. Maybe it will allow more people to do it. And it lowers the barrier of entry for scammers and nefarious ne'er-do-wells. But those people were always around. There were authors who outsourced all of their books to ghostwriters in other countries. And there are click farms who are gaming Kindle Unlimited and page flipping books to the end, and just because you make money on Kindle Unlimited by pages read. So there are people in other countries sitting in sweatshops or digital sweatshops doing that all day. Like, there's been all kinds of ways to game the system. So ChatGPT is not the end of the universe. And I think that I agree with Tara McMullen in this article that technology problems are people problems, and people problems require people solutions. The only thing is, I don't know that there are any solutions to these specific people problems, but because people suck, you know, and that's not going to change. And AI is not going to change that. It's not necessarily going to make it worse. It's just going to make it easier for the people who suck to suck harder. So yeah, the only thing that we can do is keep our eyes on our own paper. I had this graphic that I made into the desktop of my desktop background of my computer. I got it off of Reddit, and there's a circle that says in my control, and it lists things that are in my control. And then outside of the circle, it says out of my control. So out of my control, the actions of others, the future, the opinions of others, what happens around me, the outcome of my efforts, past mistakes, other people's boundaries, what other people think of me. In my control, being present in this moment, my words, my mindset, how I speak to myself, what I give my energy to, how I spend my free time, how I move on from failure, the boundaries I set. And I look at this whenever I close all the applications on my computer and just remind myself there are things that I can control and things I can't. And one of the things my father always told me, like his mantra, if he ever had a mantra, was don't worry about what you can't control. And I try to put that into practice as often as I can remember to do so. So I can't control AI. I can't control what other people do with it. I can't control anything but what I do, how I think about things, being present in this moment, my work, my energy, all of those good things. And that is what I'm trying to do, even regardless of what else happens around me and the things that might affect my livelihood and affect my art and all of that. You know, like, I can't control that. I can control my books, the words that I put into my books, the ideas, and I'm going to focus on that. Finally, we went to see Fast X, Fast 10, whatever. And it was delightfully insane. Fast 9, I think, was like a low point in the series. 8 and 9 were kind of going down. 10 brings it back up. I mean, it's completely crazy, but in the best possible way, in the way that you want these movies to be crazy. Highly recommend that if you haven't seen it. I think you, if you haven't watched any of them, then this is not the place to start. But if you're a fan of Fast and Furious movies, then yeah, dive right in. Go for it. This was great. I loved it. And that's it for me for this week. I hope that you guys have a wonderful week. My goals for the coming week are to write and get my businessy stuff taken care of. I have a lot to do. And I have workshops that I have to prepare for InkersCon, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. I will be in Texas. And I have this family trip coming up. So June is going to be really busy. And I have two workshops to prepare and one to record before I leave. So writing, business, workshops, all good stuff. And I will talk to you next week. For episode show notes and to sign up for the Footnotes newsletter and get the show notes in your inbox, go to myimaginaryfriendsshow.com. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and watch the video episodes on YouTube. You can email me at podcast@lpenelope.com, and I would really appreciate a rating or review to help support the show. My Imaginary Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. For more fantastic podcasts, go to frolic.media/podcast.